Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pinier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco. And this weekend, Kevin and I are super excited to welcome back to the American Association, Josh Allen. Josh, thanks for joining us here again tonight.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. It's good to be back. I appreciate it.
Well, Josh, let's begin there. You retired last year, came out briefly when the team was looking for a little help down when they were short some guys, but decided to come back this year. Tell us a little bit about what prompted that.
Yeah, so, it's just one of those things where, everybody's got to make a decision to, I guess, hang them up and start the real world at some point, I guess. But I went out and did that, and, I really missed it a lot. And, it's the only thing I've ever done in my life, and it's the only thing I've ever loved, and went out and got a taste of the real world and decided I wasn't done yet. And after some, long talks with a couple of my old teammates and a couple of close buddies of mine, I decided I wanted to give it another go, and I felt like I was still physically able to do it, so I decided to give it another shot.
Now, if I remember correctly, the last time we had you on, you were just about to get married, if I think that is true, so... how did the wife feel about this decision?
It is what it is. She's, excited that I'm doing what I love. And, so it makes me a better person. I'm able to do what I love, and it fulfills me. So, it's definitely good.
No, you're the first person that Kevin and I had on the show who came out of retirement. So that's a good thing. I'm curious, has this time away from the game and coming back here, has that changed your overall goals? Do you still see this as this is your pathway to hopefully play Major League Baseball one day? Or are you focused on, hey, I'm good being in Kane County, and if something happens better, I'll take that?
Everybody that grows up playing the game has a dream of making it to the big leagues, obviously – at some point, you still kind of have that fire, obviously, of you still think that, regardless of if it's a small chance or a big chance, anything's possible. But you start to, understand that the odds definitely are not in your favor. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It'd be great if it did, but, I do it just because I love the game, and, it's what I've sacrificed my life for. And, I wanted to come back, and one of the main things, is I felt like whenever baseball was done, I would have loved to get into the pro coaching realm. And so while I'm back playing again and everything, I'm definitely going to start kind of seeing what I can do with kind of making connections and stuff like that, and kind of have that be my next route after baseball. But if I got a shot to play in the big leagues, I definitely would take that. But at some point you kind of start to realize the writing on the wall. But you love the game, you're gonna play it no matter what. So
did you approach George Samus about coming back? Did he call you to lure you out? How exactly did that all go?
So, do y'all remember the name Chris Chenea that played with me in St. Paul
few
years back? Okay, yeah. So Chris Chenea, he is now the Major League bullpen catcher for the Detroit Tigers now. And he just got that job this year. And I live in the city next to Lakeland, Florida, which is where the Tiger Springs training facility is. So I was working a job, and I hadn't spoken to him in a while, and he called me out of the blue and said, "Hey, man, you live close to Lakeland, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I'm going to be up there for spring training. We need to get together." So, it was good to see him and, have one of my old baseball buddies. So we went out to dinner one night, and I was kind of talking to him and kind of told him I missed it and, thought about it all the time. And he kind of said, "Well, why not go back?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know, and he said, "Dude, just do it. If you're, if you still feel like you're able to do it, do it." And so we were sitting around talking one night, and we were back in his hotel room, just kind of telling old baseball stories and everything. And Just kind of reminded me of back when I was a player, you know, being on the road, playing away games. After the games, you come back and hang out at the hotel with a couple of your buddies and, you know, tell stories and, you know, how the night went or how the game went or whatever. And just kind of brought back a lot of those memories. And I decided to take a leap of faith. And I texted George out of the blue and just said, "Hey man, you looking for a second baseman?" And he thought I was joking, and I told him I wasn't joking, and so we started working on getting a deal done. So he was excited, and I was excited too. I have a tremendous amount of respect for George, and I think it's going to be a blast to be back with him again.
Now, can you bring back any more of the old band? Maybe a place to call to Indiana for Brady Shoemaker and get some other guys rounded up and do 2019 all over again?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. You know, it's funny that George and I joked around about that, too, whenever one of the things George just kind of jokingly told me, he's like, you know, whenever I told him I wanted to play again, he said, "Well, don't call me in 2 days from now and tell me you changed your mind, because, you know, you're gonna make me all depressed." And I said, "No, I'm not gonna change my mind." And he said, "Good. Now you just gotta call Shoemaker and tell him to come back too." So, but Brady, I don't think Brady's as easily convinced as I am. You know, Brady is, you know, he's got a great life, great family, and you know, he's one of those guys that when he makes up his mind, that's the end of it. So I don't know, as much as I hate it, I don't know if there's any way we're going to see Brady Shoemaker back again, as much as I'd love it.
Now, as you prepare for this season, Josh, do you feel like your routine needs to change at all after kind of being away from the game most of the last couple of years, or do you just get right back to the same routine you were using before?
I've kind of switched it up a little bit. You know, I tell you, if anything, I feel like it's been a positive note. You know, towards the end, you know, especially my last year, my last 2 years, I'd have to say, my body was a little broken. I'm not really one for sitting out of games whenever I'm injured. I just tend to kind of play through them, and that kind of catches up with you after a while. So I felt like I was kind of running on fumes a little bit my last year, you know, maybe my last 2 years. So I think kind of getting away from the game for a year and kind of taking a break and kind of, you know, fully letting my body kind of heal and kind of rest, I feel like actually has helped me a lot. But my training's a little bit different getting ready for this year. Normally I'm very active in the weight room, all of that, which I still am, but I'm not really lifting the same, and I'm really concentrating on, I've been doing a lot of yoga, actually. I'm really concentrated on getting flexibility and everything back, just because for me not being active from an athletic standpoint for, you know, a year, one of the things that I didn't want to happen is I get out there and start moving around again and I start pulling muscles or, you know, stuff like that. So I've been doing yoga about 5 times a week and starting, you know, to get flexible and agile again, and I feel like that's actually helped me. You know, it's increased my range of motion, which kind of helps me with my swinging and, you know, everything. So I feel like that's definitely something different that I've done this year that I haven't done in the past.
So what you're saying in all this, we're looking at 20 home runs this year.
You know, hey, if I had to, I'm shooting for 25. We'll say 25.
Are you seeing yourself back at second base, ready to battle the grind of being in an infield for 100 games again?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I tell you, it's, you know, it's definitely, stepping away from the game has definitely given me a lot deeper appreciation. You know, whenever you walk off that field and know, you know, in your mind you're not going to play again, you start to kind of look back on the way that you've done things in the past and, you know, I say regret, not so much regret, but things that you would do differently. And, you know, one of the things that I looked back on and thought to myself was, you know, I never really sat back and took it in and enjoyed where I was or what I was doing. It was that constant battle of, I have to succeed, I have to do good, you know, I have to help the team win, I have to produce, which, I mean, obviously, you know, you're playing a sport and getting paid to do it. You know, you're a competitor. You're naturally going to feel that way. But I'm going into it just kind of mentally feeling a lot more fresh about it, of not really so much thinking about it as a grind. You know, I mean, I tell you what the real grind is waking up and working a 9-to-5 in something that you really don't have a passion for. And I've loved baseball my entire life, and so I don't really think about it as a grind anymore, because I have a different perspective, because I left the game and I know what it's like to not have it in my life. So I'm definitely excited for the road ahead. That's for sure.
Were there any naysayers out of there going, okay, Josh, that's a nice idea, but you know, it's time to hang it up?
My dad was excited for me. My mom was excited for me too, but whenever I first, I kind of dropped it on him one day, just out of nowhere. I just said, hey, guess what? I just quit my job today. I'm going to go back and play baseball. So, I was making good money with my job. So of course my mom, you know, first kind of looked at me and was like, what did you just say? But at the end of the day, you know, with any parent, at the end of the day, they want to see their kids happy, and they know that's what makes me, you know, more happy than anything else. And they're definitely excited for me. That's for sure.
Well, 401ks are doing absolutely nothing right now, so there's no sense in building them up. So you may as well just have some fun for a while, let the economy settle in, and then go make some real money after you're done playing.
Yes, sir. That's the truth. And I actually worked for a personal builder for a building company in Central Florida. And so looking to, you know, buy a house or, you know, build a house or something like that with these interest rates the way that they are, I put it on hold. Oof. And go play baseball for a little bit longer. And then, you know, then maybe think about settling down and getting a house, but we'll see.
So what does a personal builder do? What does that exactly mean?
So basically I'm basically a building superintendent, basically. So the home builders, like the company that I work for, they'll go and they'll buy a piece of land and they'll develop a subdivision on it. And I'll be in charge of that entire construction project from the subdivision. So every house that gets built, if there's a homeowner that had purchased the lot to build a home on it, I'm the one that sits down with them, goes through the blueprints, makes sure everything, whether it be granite countertops, windows, tile, flooring, all of that, making sure that that's all showed correctly on the blueprints and everything. And then I will call and schedule all the trades to come in, whether it be, you know, land clearing, concrete, flooring, you know, framers, all of that stuff. And I have to basically inspect each stage of construction and make sure that we are good to pass inspections and meet with the inspectors. And I oversee everything from clearing trees off the lot all the way until walking the homeowner and their, you know, their homeowner walk. So
it doesn't sound as fun as the bases clearing double.
No, sir. It does not. I have to say that, you know, walking a homeowner and them having them signing a contract and, you know, finally closing that house doesn't feel near as good as hitting a home run and clearing the bases. That's for sure.
Well, I'm kind of curious, how did you even get into that? You know, because I remember you talking to me about the fact that you actually were at the police academy when your opportunity for playing professional baseball came into play. Now, how did you get into doing this part of your life?
Yes, sir. So with the police academy, once you graduate the police academy, you have 4 years to basically get sworn in as a law enforcement officer, or else you have to retake the police academy. So obviously my time had passed. It had been more than 4 years. And, so going out into the real world, I couldn't really go through 6 months of a police academy again and not get paid. So I needed a job, and actually the owner of this, of the company's name is Southern Homes, and the owner of this company, I actually played
baseball against his son growing up through high school and college. And I had seen him a few years ago, and he loves hiring retired baseball players. And he always told me, he said, whenever you hang them up, come see me. And we have, in that company, we had a pretty good handful of, like, retired minor league players and all of that. Like, my kind of, like, top boss under my branch of the company was a minor league pitcher with the Twins. A couple of the other superintendents that I worked with played, one of them was a pitcher, minor league pitcher with the Yankees. And so we had a bunch of minor league guys there. But I knew the owner of the company, and he loved retired baseball players. So that's how I kind of got hooked up with that.
Did you know anybody else in the company you, like, played against or played with on the same team?
No, sir. No, I didn't. I had heard of some of the names, but the majority of them were older than me, so they were already out of baseball. So we had never played against each other or anything like that. So I didn't know anybody in the company at that point.
Well, let's talk a little bit about 2023 with you now. Just a month, a little over a month away from getting here into spring training, and Kane County Cougars coming off a fine regular season, a little disappointing performance there in the playoffs, but what is your thoughts about this team and how you can help them this year?
Yeah, I'm excited. George normally does a great job of, getting a really good core group of guys. I know the guys that he's re-signed already, that are the returners from last year, is definitely a great core group to start with. I know, Cornelius is a great outfielder, great bat. You're not going to find too many shortstops that are better than Gally Cribbs, but, he normally does a great job of signing guys. And I know that, making the adjustment, being in St. Paul for as long as he was, and then making the adjustment to go over to Kane County. I mean, I know it kind of takes a little bit of time to kind of settle in, to a new place whenever you've been at one place for so long. So I think it's just going to get better and better the longer that he's there, because it's going to become the new normal, and, get a little bit more comfortable and everything. So I think, you could start to see the progression that he's had. That 2021 season, his first year, wasn't really the greatest from a record standpoint. And then last year they, did a lot better and got in the playoffs. So I'm expecting, the same progression to take place this year, and hopefully bring that title home.
Now, about a month or so ago, the Cougars traded for former major leaguer Pete Cosma. Has there been any talk? Because I know he's a middle infielder also. Is there a thing where he may be playing a little third base, or has there been any discussion with that?
Yes, sir. Yeah, there has. So he had signed Gally and Pete Cosma before I had reached out to him. I told him, I said, George, like, I just want to play again. I miss it, and I just want to play. I said, you can stick me in left field for all I care. I just want to be out there. And he told me that he's not putting me in the outfield. But he told me to, while I was down here training and getting ready, to, start taking some ground balls at third too. So,
there you go.
Yeah. So I'll play, I'll probably play a little bit of second, but I think there's a pretty decent chance that you may see me at third base this year. So it's fine. It's going to be a new challenge. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just excited to be back on the field again. So wherever he wants me, if he wants to throw some catcher's gear on me and put me behind the plate, then I'll be the hardest working catcher in the league.
Josh, you're one of those guys that I have always liked kind of watching, because you were a person who started out in the American Association as a guy who was getting on base. You were at the top of the order for St. Paul, then became a big-time power hitter for the club. And I'm wondering, is there any kind of desire to to go back to that speed game. You know, a couple of good seasons in the 20s in stolen bases. Are you looking to try to kind of add that back into your game?
Yeah, I am. You know, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier with just kind of the preparation during the off season. I really, in years past, I really kind of wanted to increase kind of the power numbers that I had. And so I would just kind of, my off-season preparation was just in the gym. I just kind of lifted heavy. And one of the things that that did is it kind of made me tight a little bit slower. And of course, you know, I mean, you guys know, I mean, baseball season is a long time. And if you're tight and slow, you get fatigued very fast. And I think that was one of the reasons why I kind of felt so beat down is, you know, yeah, I had power, but I felt like I got very tight and very slow, which kind of made my body kind of start feeling fatigued faster. So I do want to start incorporating, you know, getting back to kind of the speed. I have been running a lot, but just kind of concentrating on not so much the big power lifting kind of exercises, but more so the just staying more agile, more flexible, but working more of the quick twitch explosive kind of training that I think will definitely kind of help my speed, which will increase my stolen bases. I definitely want to be more aggressive on the bases and kind of not be so one-sided, whether it be I have speed and no power or power and no speed. I kind of want to see if I can combine both of those this year. And George kind of talked to me a little bit already about kind of concentrating a little bit on some speed this year, especially with the new rule changes.
When you talk about there were aspects of the game that you were, you know, you were just missing, were there certain things that really stood out to you more that drew you back to the game?
Yes. I feel like I've always been one of the type of people that I just feel like I'm at my best on the field and off the field, you know, with people that I surround myself with and everything. I just feel like I'm the best version of myself when I do something that I have a real deep passion for, that, you know, follow my heart kind of thing. And, I mean, it was a great job of what I had outside of baseball. It was good money, but at the end of the day, you know, I made decent money, but I didn't feel passionate about what I was doing. And I've always kind of wanted to live my life, in a way that I'm passionate about. And I feel like, you know, the best thing you can do in this world is, you know, leave an impact. And how you can get in and use whatever tools or whatever knowledge you have to help other people, or, you know, change or affect other people's lives. And, you know, the only thing I've ever done is play baseball, and I feel like I could impact the most people in a positive way through my experiences in baseball and just kind of re-entering that world again. And whether it be, you know, mentoring kids or, you know, coaching, or maybe lessons that I learned, or maybe it be me talking to, you know, a young rookie that's just coming up, that's trying to, you know, learn how to get by in the, you know, pro world. But just being able to leave an impact on others and just kind of use that to kind of leave the world a better place than what you found it. And I feel like baseball is the best way for me to do that.
Do you feel like in coming back this year that you're going to be more of the veteran type player? And like you just kind of alluded to with talking to rookies, do you see it being a lot different from when you were breaking into independent leagues around 2017,
18? I do, for sure. I definitely feel like I've matured a lot from a mental standpoint of, you know, I mean, the real world's tough, and there's lessons that you can't learn until, you know, it kicks you in the face. And for, you know, lack of a better description. But I definitely think that that has kind of definitely changed some of the things about me. I still am going to have that same fire. I'm still going to have that same competitiveness. You know, it's just wired in who I am. You know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if I didn't have that will to win. I mean, that's one of the things, whether I'm 0-4 or 4-4, I want to win the game. And I think it kind of reflects in the way that I play is I want to win. But definitely learning some of the different lessons that you learn out in the real world of, you know, how tough things can be and how it's not fair and how you learn to appreciate the things that you hold close to your heart and that you value. So I definitely feel like I can bring some of those lessons that I've learned from stepping away from the game and use that and combine it within the game to be able to use those lessons and use those stories to be able to help younger guys for sure.
You know, Josh, I have to say one thing that I think is impressive about this entire story, and I hope you embrace this as an incredible compliment to you, is that, you know, early 30s, 31 years old here, and you call back to your manager and say, you know what, I'm ready to give this another shot. It seems like George had no reservations about that whatsoever. You know, a lot of managers might have been like, well, are you sure? And, you know, let's see how you do or whatever. Call me in a month or something. I mean, you have to feel pretty good. I would feel like, I had a call to my manager and he was like, hey, you're welcome back.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I have to tell you, I mean, I love George. We have a lot of history together and I know he loves me too. And, we've been in the trenches together and, you know, fought, you know, for a lot of seasons. And, I mean, we, you know, even whenever I walked away from the game and I retired, I mean, we still, you know, kept in contact and talked pretty regularly. I would watch their games and talk to them, or I'd ask them how they were doing or how things were. And I never lost that itch. But I definitely, because, I mean, I know for me, I mean, I would feel the same way if I was a coach and there's somebody that I kind of, I have to use a veteran spot on my roster that hasn't played in a year. It's a toss up how they're going to be. Maybe he still has it. Maybe he doesn't. And I mean, I would definitely feel that way as a manager of, you know, are you going to get the same person that played for you in the past, or are you going to get somebody that hasn't done anything in a long time that is going to, you know, maybe not perform in the way that you want it to? So I definitely consider myself extremely fortunate that I have a manager like George that would put his trust and faith and confidence in me. Mm-hmm. I definitely hold a lot of value to that. Whenever I give somebody my word or my commitment, one of the things that keeps me up at night is not letting them down. And whenever I called him and told him I was serious and wanted to come back, I was honest with him. I told him, I said, you know, like, I want you to forget about the past and tell me, you know, I mean, like, is this something that you're comfortable with or not? Like, I understand I haven't played, you know, I haven't played in a year. I haven't, you know, so I understand it. And he told me that, you know, he definitely would love to have me back, and there's no question about it. So I definitely love the man for that and respect him and cherish that so much. And so in return, I have worked my tail off since then and getting back in shape and working as hard as I possibly can to make sure that I'm in the shape and I'm as prepared as I possibly can be to repay him for the confidence and the faith that he's showing in me by giving me this opportunity again.
Do you see this as an opportunity that, you know, you were talking about one getting involved in coaching? Could you be a hitting coach in the American Association a year from now or a couple of years from now, do you think?
I mean, I would definitely love to, you know, if the situation, you know, arose, I would definitely love to. And
I mean, that's kind of one of the things. I mean, I've, in the past, whenever that wasn't something that was really in my thought process, I would always, you know, I kind of had my routine of kind of things that I did to kind of prepare myself, you know, offensively and stuff like that. And I feel like now this year it's a lot different because I'm kind of diving deeper into the deeper realm of why you're doing certain things. Like if somebody has a, you know, a certain drill that kind of helps them with their swing offensively, in the past it would have been, oh, okay, well, let me try it. And if I get two hits today, then it works. And if I go 0 for 4, then it doesn't, you know. But now I'm really starting to try to dig a little bit deeper and understand why. What movements are we trying to do? Why are we trying to do those movements? What's the method and what's the process behind it? What are we trying to accomplish? Which I feel like, you know, I look back and go, man, I wish I would have had this same, you know, mentality and mindset years ago, because it's definitely helped me personally in my swing. But just kind of digging a little bit deeper, because I have that thought process of I need to understand the why of everything, because if I want to get into coaching, that those are things that help me. And being around different guys where no two people are the same, some things may work better for other guys, and just learning different styles of the way that people go about things, so I can be, if I get into a coaching realm or a coaching aspect, I can be the best for as many different versions of guys as there are on the team, for sure.
I guess what Rob's really trying to ask is, can you be the next Ole Sheldon? And if so, since I know Ole probably doesn't listen to the show, so you're pretty safe in answering this, would you be a better third base coach than Ole Sheldon?
Oh man, I don't know if I would. I know I definitely wouldn't be as funny as Ole Sheldon. That's for sure. He is absolutely hilarious. I can tell you one thing. I would definitely be a better BP thrower than Ole. Ole's got to stick to the front toss, because if you throw overhand, there is no telling where that ball is going to go. So I know that the players would probably like me more because I could throw a lot better BP than he could throw.
And you would probably never threaten to send them to Amarillo.
That is very true. Yes, absolutely. And that's because he's also like 6'4", and I'm like 5'7". So I mean, if I'm a coach, most of the guys are going to be taller than me. So I don't know if I'd want to start throwing threats out, because they're all going to be bigger than me.
Well, that is awesome, Josh, and we are super excited to have you back. But before we let you go tonight, you've been on the show before, so you know you get a final thought for us here tonight. So whatever you'd like to talk about, the floor is yours.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I'm just excited to get back. I mean, I've actually, so I have to give a shout out in case he listens to the show. So he was he played for King County last year, Sherman Johnson. Sherman has been my personal coach throughout this journey of coming back this year. And he has opened my eyes to just a complete different way of thinking and a whole different way of movement and everything whenever it comes to technique wise offensively. And so I've really been working on that hard with him, and I'm very, very, very excited to come back this year. Just because I feel like I'm going to be a different player. I hope it's positive, but I'm going to be a completely different player this year. I feel like I'm, you know, I've grown from a mental standpoint and a physical standpoint, where I feel like I'm gonna have a great year. And I just gonna give my shout out to the Kane County Cougars and thank you for the opportunity. And I can't wait to get back up there and hear the roar of the crowds and lace up those cleats again and get back up there with my teammates and
you know, all the things that you hated with the long bus rides, the late nights, and rolling into, you know, hotels at 7 o'clock in the morning and getting ready to play a 6 o'clock game that afternoon. I just tell you, I can't wait. And I feel so blessed and so fortunate to be able to have another chance. A lot of people never get this opportunity to begin with, and they certainly don't get a second chance. And so for me to have this opportunity to come back and knowing the things that I wished I would have done differently after I retired, to be able to have the opportunity to come back to understanding those feelings and being able to redo that is definitely something I feel so blessed and so fortunate to do. And I'm super excited, and I can't thank y'all enough for having me on. I haven't felt important in a long time. You guys are making me feel important, inviting me on the show. So I thank y'all for that.
Well, you know, you've always been important to Kevin and I. So thanks for joining us this week, Josh.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. I look forward to talking to y'all soon one day.
Well, Kevin, great having Josh Allen on the show, and good to see him back in the American Association.
And you know me, I'm partial to my former Saints. There's getting to be fewer and fewer of them left in the American Association. So the guys that are around, you know, I'm always going to be a little bit partial to. So I'm looking for really good things out of Josh Allen this year.
You know, always been a guy with a great attitude about the game, and teammates love him. He's a fun guy to watch playing baseball. And, you know, I feel like his time away has only brought him to enjoy the game more. It'd be interesting to see what kind of season he has this year.
Yeah, it should be one of the many stories that will be found throughout the years. Shaped up to be a fun one, I'd say.
I am agreeing with you on that. Well, let's jump out to other transactions going on around the league out there, Kevin. And we'll begin with Milwaukee, who had traded for or acquired Reggie Pruitt from Chicago, I believe, earlier on, winds up officially signing him. So he will be a Milwaukee Milkman player for next year. That outfield for Milwaukee, I really like, Kevin. I think this is going to be, you know, we've seen some good groups out there, but I think they're deep enough that this could be one of the best in the American Association this year.
Definitely, those guys can definitely cover some ground, so it'll be fun to watch.
Chicago has left-handed pitcher Kevin Martin heading for the Mexican League. Lake Country has released left-handed pitcher Robert Gonzalez, and they sign, I'm not even going to get close to this. I think this is Johanse Torres. I'm very sorry, Mr. Torres, for getting that wrong if I did. And infielder Blake Jabari jumping from the Sioux City Explorers to join Lake Country next year. I thought that was kind of an interesting move. And they trade Wilfredo Jimenez to get Blake Jabari from Sioux City. I should have said it that way in this order so that conversation would have made more sense. But Rasheed Montgomery looking to try to get better catching for this year. That veteran guy that he really likes, Jimenez, is going to be the guy this season. But let's begin with Jabari. He had a nice year for Sioux City last year. He joins a Lake Country team looking for a little bit better defense for this season. I think he's a guy that can really help them.
Jabari was a guy that snuck under a lot of radars due to the fact that I don't believe he was with the Explorers to start the season. I think he was probably a pickup about, I don't know, one-fourth to one-third of the way through the season. And you know, he didn't crush 20 homers or steal 50 bases, but he played really good baseball for the Explorers, and I thought that he was a big part of the team that made a run and just landed just short of the playoffs. But boy, you know, Wilfredo Jimenez, that's a pretty good guy to handle what's usually a pretty good pitching staff in Sioux City. So, I'd say that's a good trade on both ends.
Yeah, Jimenez has been a guy. So he's had some decent offensive seasons, but he's a guy that pitchers like to throw to, gives a good target for the strike zone, really knows how to call a game, clearly knows this league very well, and I think he gets a better opportunity to enhance his skills working with Bobby Post and Steve Montgomery. So I think you're spot on with that's a great fit for Sioux City for next year. Sioux City goes on a little bit of a limb there, signing right-handed pitcher Solomon Bates. I believe he was with Fargo a couple years ago, wasn't he? Just struggled through some arm injuries and
No, he was. He pitched Double A, and then he did end up with Sioux City for the last half of the season. So he does. He has had time with the Explorers already, so he'll be coming back into a comfortable situation.
Okay, see, that's why we have Kevin adding the right information. They also signed right-handed pitcher Francis Peguero, which I know that Steve Montgomery has big, big hopes for him out there on the staff. Working around Fargo Moorhead. We have a lot of guys moving around in the league, by the way, this week. So Fargo Moorhead signs outfielder Kona Quigley, who was with Sioux Falls last year. So that's a nice little addition to their outfield for next year. Jesus Mariaga re-signs with Gary Southshore. You know, I don't think we really mentioned this guy a lot last year, Kevin, but he had a huge season for the Railcats, and you know, they're looking to get a little more offense for the season. And Mariaga is a guy that you can count on to hit over 300, steal 25 bases, score 70, 75 runs for you. So big pickup again for manager Lamar Rogers.
And he just recently competed in the World Baseball Classic, from what I was told. But we'll get into that a little more during my final thought.
Cleburne signs right-handed pitcher Joe Corbett and re-signs Kevin McGarty. That bullpen last year for Cleburne was very, very good. They have some big holes to fill this year, Kevin, so bringing McGarty back looks like that's one piece they have to kind of help bolster the group.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And let me get one more.
Yeah, go ahead. Because I really had nothing there. I was just gonna ad lib through the whole thing. So instead of my nonsense, let's just continue on here.
And let's just add one more thing we're going to talk about. So officially, the Kansas City Monarchs release outfielder Gabby Guerrero. I know we talked about this a lot after the All-Star break last year when he decided to retire. I guess was kind of looking at coming back, but officially out now and maybe moving on to the next chapter of his life. You know, we got to see Josh Allen come back, and I hope if there's any inclination in Gabby Guerrero to come back and play baseball, I hope we will get to see him again, Kevin, a guy we both liked a lot.
He was someone that you could just tell when he was on the field, that was where he was comfortable, and that's what he enjoyed. So unless there's something in the real world that is enticing him really good, maybe there will be the chance that we'll see him back in the association again.
You know, the good thing about him too, Kevin, is that it wasn't like he was leaving the game because he was struggling. I mean, he was having a great season last year and, you know, has decided it was time to move on. I mean, I'll give a guy credit for that. If you want to move on to something else, and good for you. You know, so I just know that he's probably thinking is that if I wanted to come back and play, I know I can play, and I think that's the biggest difference for a guy like that. So, be interested to see how that works out.
Gabby, well, the 401k stink right now, buddy. There's no sense jumping
like
into the real world right now because there's just not money to be had.
Let's jump around in the partner league baseball out there. And Kevin and I are going to really try to – that's our goal this year, Kevin. We're going to get off independent baseball and call it partner league this year. So let's talk about Frontier League.
That's a crank.
I know. Yeah, I know it is because I still want to jump back to independent ball every time. Interesting, though, Ottawa, after getting Pat Laday from Sioux City, they trade him away into the Atlantic League to the Lexington – Counterclock. I still don't get that name. I'm sorry. Atlantic League should have been like, no, that's a silly name. But okay, we'll go with it for this year. Eric Rivera, who played with Winnipeg last season in Chicago, signs with the Gateway Grizzlies in the Frontier League. And I think that there was any other... I don't think there was any other American Association news from that. No. And then we had in the Atlantic League, they had two pieces of information. So Josh Presley was named to the Silver Anniversary team. I just wanted to throw that out there and say congratulations to him. And in terms of players, American Association guys who signed, I do not believe there was anybody the only major one was Tasker Strobel, who was acquired from York, officially signed with the club. And I don't think either one of us is surprised Rick Forney managing there. Having your closer back is always a nice thing to have in your back pocket, Kevin. Well, let's take it from there. Okay, so Kevin, I think that covers us around American Association. I did want to say one other thing. The league officially announced a deal with Paramount and Company. When I first read that, I thought they were talking about the TV people, the TV and movie people, but they're talking about a group that helps to promote and provide graphics and branding and assist with all kinds of specialization within the league itself. I don't know exactly how that benefits the American Association, Kevin, but it's another one of those deals that you look around Josh and Josh out there making right now to just bring a bigger presence for the American Association out there.
Hey, you know, and it just proves, I didn't read up too much on the company itself, but it just shows that the American Association is, the brand is showing some power nationwide, and it's getting the attention of national sponsors. And I think that's key as you try to make the next step to bring more exposure to the league.
I completely agree. I think it says a lot about the direction that the two Joshes have taken the league. And, you know, that they've had a lot of deals that they've signed with partnerships. And you and I have looked at some of those kind of things and thought, well, okay, you know. But you know, it's just we're not seeing, like, the big name. And I don't mean to diminish anybody's company out there. But I think whether you really look at it, these guys have brought in so many different partners now, the American Association, and it's fun. You know, people want to be involved in this league. I think they're starting to catch on to how good this baseball is. And so, two Joshes, always doing a great job. We're loving how they're doing out there. So, thank you for you guys' hard work and dedication to our league.
Well, you know, they're only a phone call for them to help make sense of it for us, because let's remember how lost you and I were a couple of years ago when the short-term fad of non-fungible tokens were a thing, too. And those eventually seem to have faded away.
Yes. So, but they were willing to provide some information to us, and we had no idea what that even meant. I still don't really understand the word fungible, but okay. So that leads us to the final thought, and Kevin Lucco.
You know what? You're going to get a two-parter tonight, so some week down the line when I don't feel like talking, I'm going to take the night off, and then we'll be even.
All right.
My first thought, World Baseball Classic. Rob, how much did you watch?
Literally none of it. I saw that Japan won. I can tell you that.
How much hockey did you watch during it?
Lots. Watch lots of hockey.
But you're a baseball guy.
Right.
Okay, this isn't an interrogation. This is just me getting around to a point. I know a lot of people were saying, you know, oh my gosh, this was so great for baseball, and this was just so incredible. And if you didn't watch it or you didn't get into it, you really missed out. Well, maybe we did, maybe we didn't. But I know the way I'm wired, if it's March, as far as the sports world goes, especially up here in Minnesota, it's all hockey. I can't sit down and watch a baseball game regardless of what's at stake. I guess I've never been a spring training guy. And I know Chris Russo of MLB Network took a lot of heat because he said the kind of a roundabout way the same thing, that he just didn't understand what the whole allure was. I'm not in denial. I'm not stupid. I do see that there's ballparks filled with fans watching the game, and you know, anytime that's good for baseball. But you know, you play something like that in around the All-Star break. Is it something where you decrease the season a little bit? I know gate receipts, you can't have teams playing fewer home games because that's fewer tickets sold, and that's less sponsor money, less whatever, less this, less that, blah, blah, blah. But wouldn't it be good for baseball to, just like we saw when the NHL guys played in the Olympics, wouldn't it be good to maybe stall the season for a week or two? You don't have to stretch the guys out. The pitchers have already stretched out. But get these countries together and let's play this thing in the middle of the summer. And I guarantee you there's going to be a lot more eyes on it, and I think it would be even better.
I think that's a beautiful point, Kevin. And I think what they come out with this World Baseball Classic is that probably meant a huge deal in Japan. And it probably was if you were Israel or whoever. But here in the United States, all people are looking for is, why isn't my guy playing for the Oakland Athletics or the Washington Nationals or something? Why is he out here playing for Team USA? I want to make sure he's ready for our team this season. You know, and I think that kind of diminishes. I will say, Kevin, the only other thing I paid attention to briefly was to see how those former Chinese guys that were here in the American Association were performing in the World Baseball Classic. And I just saw in one game it was not a good sight for them. But it was like I didn't really care about it otherwise, except for specifically the ties to the American Association. And if they're looking to try to get people like yourself and I, who have been diehard baseball fans for 45 years, into this thing, I guess they're just not connecting.
Part two, I do know where sooner than later, we will have an announcement on a location for the All-Star Game. And building upon last week's news where the Gold Clan Group had sold the St. Paul Saints, I'm just going to throw this out here. You know, I've pushed hard for, and you know, I think a lot of people are pushing hard for Mike Vec to be in this next round of Hall of Fame inductees for the American Association. But to me, as much as I respect what Mike Vec did, I think you have to draw attention to most of the Gold Clan group, at least the core that had been around for most of the time that the Saints were in independent baseball, with Marv Gold Clan, Mike Vec, and put a little star power in it and throw Bill Murray in there. You know, wouldn't hurt to have an All-Star game with a Bill Murray appearance too. So I hope the league will give the Gold Clan group as a whole a little bit of consideration for Hall of Fame honors. I know Marv, even though he was a minority owner of the New York Yankees, there was the St. Paul Saints were very close to his heart, and Marv kept tabs on the team constantly and would live and die with all the Saints were doing and, frankly, with all the league was doing. And it was Marv, along with Mike Vec, that took the leap of faith to bring independent baseball to the upper Midwest and believed in what the Northern League had to offer. And thankfully, Marv couldn't find many flights that went from New York to Duluth. So instead of taking them to Duluth, took the franchise in St. Paul, so we'll have to thank the airlines on that, because history could have been different if he ended up buying the Dukes instead. But anyways, that's my final thought. Gold Clan Group, some recognition for the Hall of Fame. That's what I got.
Yeah, Kevin, I want to say why that's such a good idea, too, is because if you really get down to it, one of the great things about having St. Paul in the league was it was a nice central location between those teams out in Chicago, the Chicago area, and heading towards Fargo, Winnipeg, places like that. So still right in the heart of the league if you get down to it. So it worked out pretty well, I think, from that perspective.
And just the publicity that St. Paul drew, it was good for independent baseball because, you know, if you're a fan in Sioux City and you see something on St. Paul, it's like, hey, gosh, hey, that's the league we're in. That must be a pretty good deal. Let's go out and catch some baseball.
Absolutely. I think that's two great final thoughts this week from Kevin Lucco. Well, Kevin and I want to once again thank Josh Allen for joining us this week. Next week, we're going to have somebody from the league office come in and talk to us a little bit about coming and preparing for the upcoming season. So we'll look forward to that. Surprise guest at the moment. The surprise means I don't know exactly who yet. So that's my version of surprise. So, Kevin Lipko, I'm Rob Pannier. We'll see you next time on This Week in the Association.